Okay. Should we do this?
We shall.
We should do this. Jerry.
Let's do it.
So welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 238?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I don't even have to check. One of these weeks I'm really going to actually check. So we are here in San Francisco at Google I.O. This is our Google I.O. special edition podcast that Jerry and I get to do once a year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Sing it.
There you go. Hey, that's all the words I knew. Wow. Anyway,
So, Jerry and I are here in the hotel in San Francisco, and we have Justin Duino with us. You might remember him briefly from an appearance on stage at CES Live this year. So Justin has been here with us as well. We are through day one of Google I.O. Developer Conference. Now, we are recording this on the eve of day one, and there's still day two to come, so a lot more. We'll talk a little more about that in a second. So it's entirely possible we might like miss something cool from Friday, I think, and that's okay. We can talk about it more in the podcast next week, but we want to go ahead and get this recorded and out to you guys. It's an audio-only podcast, by the way, which I still kind of enjoy. I like that we get to do it once every now and then because it's less stress. I know everybody loves seeing Jerry's shiny face, but it's a lot easier for us to just talk without worrying about how we look and whether we pick our nose, and I didn't have to do my hair, what's left of it. So let's just do this and dive in, because I don't want to say it's been a weird I.O., but it's been a different one.
It's been a weird
I.O. It's been different than the past few years.
Different is weird.
I was talking to, they do a you don't want to call it a press party, but like just a gathering. They get all the press together and we have a couple drinks and they bring a bunch of the Googlers down and a lot of the people you saw on stage. Larry Page showed up with Sundar late into it. Matias Duarte was there, Dave Burke. Some of the new faces I didn't know before, and I forgot them already and need to go back, and I feel horrible about that, but you guys know how it is when you meet people for the first time. And Anil, I think that was his name,
yep.
who showed off the Photos app
yep,
in the keynote. I spoke with him for a while. Ellie from Google Play Dev Console mm-hmm. was down there, and she's always down there, which is great to see. So it's a really cool opportunity to meet the people who actually do this stuff and then get up and talk about it and talk some more about it. I had a total point to this and not just name dropping, and I forget what it was. Wow.
I felt weird,
yeah. So I was down there speaking to some PR people that we've known off and on, and Google PR tends to rotate jobs mm-hmm. a little bit, so some of these people we don't work with quite as closely as we used to. But I was saying to her, it felt a little less like it was for the, a little less public and a little less for the press, and almost entirely for the developers now. And that's not a bad thing. That's not me complaining about it. I think that's good. I've always kind of felt like an interloper here a little bit, and not that I'm taking up space. And again, I said this on the All About Android show the other night. Like, I'm stoked that I get to... stoked that I get to come. I'm getting a little verklempt. And obviously want to come next year. But at the end of the day, it's a developer conference, and this is for the developers to learn and share and learn some more. And that, at its utmost, is what this place is about. And it felt more like that this year than it has any other year.
Yes, the entire format for sessions and the event itself, it's been changed.
To the layout of Moscone?
Yeah, everything has changed. I don't know what Moscone Center looks like normally, but walls that have been there in previous years are no longer there. Open spaces are there where there were no open spaces before. You've got beanbags, you've got computers, you've got developers everywhere, digging in, writing code, learning stuff. I think it's great, and maybe that's the way it should have been all along, but in the past there wasn't as much of that as there is this year.
Did you get that feeling, Justin? It's been a few years since you've been to one.
I felt that way because it was very open. It felt awkward almost because there was less rooms to go into these sessions, and there was more just openness, people talking to each other. There was a lot more...
And that's a good thing, but it was different, yeah. They had the alcoves instead of... It used to be like where they had some of the press rooms were now sort of almost like little mini amphitheaters.
Yeah.
But obviously, I mean, I didn't see one that didn't have people spilling out of it.
Right, and
which is again a good and bad thing.
No longer are you going into a dimly lit small room with a guy on a stage. Half of these sessions are somebody that's 5 feet away from you, talking to you while they talk about what they're doing, and it's different. Everybody's together, and it's very casual.
Yeah.
One thing I also noticed is that the major sessions, they made the rooms bigger because they could predict which ones were going to be the more popular.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there was never a time when the room was so full that there was people on the floor and in the back.
Yeah, it's been a lot worse in previous years, and, yep. and that was good to see. So let's just kind of dive into it. I mean, we're going to go through a whole bunch of the stuff we saw in the keynote, obviously. But if I had to boil it down to a few main things, it would be Android M and developer preview, and we'll talk about some of the new features. Google Photos, to me, was the other big one. What else?
Offline maps.
Offline maps. And that was a bigger push for Android One and Android in emerging markets. And not just Android, but Google in general, because you have to do things differently when you don't have virtually unlimited data to play
right.
with. And not just talking price, but just in the way things work. So that was really good to see them focus on a little bit. So we've got a million stories up and more to come. And by the way, now's a good time to say the guys at home, Russell and Andrew and our newsroom, and I've said it before, it's tougher on the guys who aren't working these shows, who aren't actually here. I think it's tougher on the people back home. Because there's so much more to do that we just physically can't do while we're running around.
Yep, this is a vacation for me. A
little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Not that it's easy, but the guys back home have a really hard job in front of them. Yep. So kudos to them. Do you want to start with the M developer preview, since that's sort of the yeah. one thing that if you're a non-developer, you can kind of play with?
Well, everybody gets yeah. a chance to see that. Let's start there, yeah.
So we now have Android M. What does M stand for? Nothing yet. You've no doubt heard, we've talked about it the past couple of weeks, MNC, macadamia nut cookie is like an internal, don't read anything into that at all. That, 99.9% sure that is not going to be the name of
right.
M.
That can change that anymore.
All I want to yeah. say is key lime pie and lemon meringue pie, and there's a reason they have two separate names, guys.
Yeah, so, we can keep guessing between now and the fall. Q3, I mean, look, the usual timeline is in effect, and Hiroshi Lockheimer, I think he had an interview with Fast Company, maybe, reiterated that. Nothing we haven't known before, but, they settled into this yearly cycle. We yep. get a little taste in the summer, and then they keep working for a few months, and then release it in the late fall.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, they need as much time as they can get. Who wouldn't have loved Lollipop to be baked a little bit more before it came out? So we don't want them to rush this stuff.
No, there's a lot of work to be done. So, and there will be updates to these developer previews. And I think we had like one update. It wasn't so much an update, it was just a new version.
Yeah, I think Google Fit
yeah,
changed?
Yeah.
They gave them a new... Yeah, with basically no updates, just a Google Fit that worked. But they said... What did they say,
three
Justin? Three?
Yeah. Updates, and then before the final build.
So basically one a month, I think, was more or less, was kind of the thing. So there's that. You can get it on basically the Nexus 5 on up.
Yep.
Nexus 5, Nexus 6, Nexus 7. Nexus 7?
No. Only the Nexus 9.
Yeah, Nexus 5, 6,
five,
Nexus
six,
9,
nine.
And Nexus Player.
And yeah, that's...
Which was kind of interesting.
That's one I want to go home and play with.
Right.
I wonder if they'll be pushing one out to the developer unit they gave out last I.O.
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
Nexus Player is what, $100 now?
Yeah.
Well, it's on sale. It's on sale, yeah.
So there's that. It installs like any other factory image. We've got some tutorials up on how to do that, which actually Justin wrote way back when.
And even though I wrote them, still things happen. I had to reflash my Nexus 9 twice.
Justin
today.
Was sitting next to me, and I flashed my Nexus 6 without problem. And again, this is one of those things, if you've never done it, I think you can absolutely do it.
Yeah, it's very simple. You don't need to know a background.
Yeah, once you understand the process and a little bit of what's going on, it makes life so much easier with these Nexus devices. If I can do it, you can do it.
I want all you guys to do it.
And, you know, Jerry and I have been doing this for years, and I used to have to go crying to him every now and then, Jerry, how do I do this?
One warning, don't do it on a device you rely on.
Yes.
There will be bugs, and there will be issues with it, so don't do it on something you have to rely on.
I got to figure out what I'm going to do about a second Nexus 6, because I'm not going to even attempt to think this is software that I want to use every day on a phone. I may need to call somebody in a case of emergency or the one I talk to my kids with, because this is a preview.
And that also means a lot of what you see might well change in some respects. We went through this last year. You know, we're not going to start diving through every single tiny little feature like we tend to do, because it can and will change by the fall.
And when it's done and when it's final, you know, we're going to be all over it, and we'll worry about doing it once the right way instead of worrying about stuff that there's a reason this is developer preview stuff, guys.
I mean, if you're looking for a good high-level read of what's new in it, go to the Android Developer Blog.
Sure.
They do a really good post every time, you know, once a year at least when this stuff comes out, but also when new things come out, that just explains, all right, here's everything new that's in this whatever. And so Android M Developer Preview and Tools is what it's called.
Actually, they do such a good job, it's crazy for us to try to rewrite it.
I see people like picking out every little feature and writing their own posts on it. It's like, no, they did such a good job. In fact, I've got it open here, and let's just go through it. We've got our own links to posts we have done, but Google did such a good job writing it. Let's just go through it. Permissions. Which we all thought was coming, and sure enough, it did. We've played with it a little bit. Is that my Nexus 6, Jerry? Do you have that open?
Mine's Nexus over here. 6. Yours is somewhere.
Let me grab it so we can look at it while we're talking.
So many Nexus 6s. They're just everywhere. They fall from the sky.
Big change is when you install an application, it's no longer going to declare up front, hey, here are these permissions that this app can use. We know you're not going to read it, so don't worry about it. Trust us. That's sort of what happens.
It hurts, Phil.
And instead, applications, and again, let me explain what's going to happen first. Applications are going to declare when you actually run the application and it uses...
When it needs a resource.
When it needs a resource that needs one of these permissions,
you know,
it's going to say, hey...
Essentially, it's exactly the same way you do it on the iPhone.
Right,
exactly.
To the user. I'm sure it's very different in the back end, and we'll know more once we start looking. But to the user, you install an app, and you pick it up, and you run the app, and it says, hey, I want to use your GPS. And you say, nope. Or you say, yes.
What's also interesting is, I mean, by default, it's going to say yes to all this stuff, right?
Right.
We don't entirely know. As it stands right now in the M developer preview, you can also go into the settings and the apps list, and when you see the app info, it has a section now that says permissions. And you open up that app, and it will list all the permissions. Justin has Google Wallet here, and it says, all right, contacts, phone, camera, and location. And you can individually turn off any of those.
You know what kills me, though? Contacts, phone, camera, location. Those are easy to understand permissions.
Right.
Why, when you go to install it from the store, does it list 16 different things that nobody understands?
I mean, we've said that I don't know how many times. They've never explained that.
Because I'll be honest, I like the idea that we can control our private data a little more, but this way these permissions are done, I'm not really loving it. I didn't love it on Apple. I want to know what this can do before I install it, and we lose that.
Yeah,
and I don't like that at all.
It's a very good point. Now, a couple caveats here as we get into the M developer preview. Say, like the Android Central app right now. You load it on the M developer preview, and you won't actually see any permissions in that section. The application has to be built against this new SDK.
Actually, even if it's the old build, it will pop up when you download it, but you can still go into permissions as long as you're within the M preview and turn stuff off. No matter what, that's still going to have the on-off toggles.
Ours doesn't right now, though.
That's what they were saying earlier.
They said something to that effect. So,
and like you said, this is we have to play with this.
Actually, well, you know what it might be? It might be because our app doesn't require
anything but the SD card.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's probably what that is. So ignore everything I just said for the past minute and a half.
Well, no, this is the this is the good discussion we have to have,
right?
Because we all need to learn this, and you're seeing, you know, this is how
we learn it, right, along with everybody else, actually. App links. This was kind of a really cool one, I think. So, trying to think the best way to describe this.
They made the intent system smart.
Yeah,
I love the example they gave in the keynote. If I click a link to Twitter, right now on Lollipop, I get this pop-up saying, do you want to open this in any of these apps?
So, say you're in your Gmail.
Right.
And somebody sends a link to an Android Central story. When you hit that link, if you have the AC app and you have any browser, Chrome, it's going to say, hey, do you want to open this link? Because it's a, you know, HTTP, blah, blah, blah. Yep. It's a URL. It doesn't know how to do it. So it's going to give you these options. Well, if you have the Android Central app installed, it will basically send a check back to, I believe it would live on our server somewhere.
They use the word verification.
Right.
So.
And it would verify, it would say, hey, you have this app installed. Let us check with this website and make sure it is who it says it is. And then it will just automatically open it up in the AC app instead of worrying about Chrome. Now, I kind of hope that there's an option there as well. There are times that I want to open stories in our app, and there are times I want to open stories in Chrome.
I also never pick always because I want that option. So
now that said, I mean, at least in our app, we have the option to open in a browser once you've opened it in the app, and that's a good thing. So it'll be interesting to see where that meets in the middle, I think.
And maybe the onus is on developers to include that now.
Yeah.
If you think your users aren't going to want to always use your app, you give them another method to do it. But the smart linking is pretty cool. Especially, I like whenever somebody uses the word verified, I hope it means what it sounds like it means, and they're actually checking, and it's going to be not only easier on the users, but maybe make them more safe.
There was another story I wanted to see. Oh, you know what? Oh, no, that was it. Yeah. I was thinking the custom Chrome tabs. That was the other thing I was thinking.
That's cool, too.
Is that an M thing, or is that...
That's a kind of Lollipop, but mostly M. The web view now, let's say we'll go back to our app. Let's say if you opened the Android Central app and you clicked on one of our stories and you dove into the story and it opened up in a new window, you could use what they call a web view for that, which is like a little miniature web browser.
Well, go back to the Twitter app.
Okay. You can...
When you click a story in Twitter now, it automatically opens up in Twitter's own internal browser.
And ever since Lollipop, that web view is basically Chrome. It uses the same resources and the same methods as to draw your window that Chrome does. Now they've taken it a step further. It is actually an embedded Chrome tab inside the web view, which means it has all your data that you've got stored in Chrome, your usernames, your passwords, all, you know, your bookmarks, your favorites. Anything that you have in Chrome can now be in a web view for an app that a third-party developer has written, and that's cool. That's really cool.
The best part about it is actually that if the developer does their job correctly, they can style that view so that it looks like it's still part of the app. So it doesn't look like you're actually leaving the app. It looks like you just got a little overflow window that came over your screen.
They used Pinterest as an example, and it looked just like part of the app. So it doesn't have to look like a Chrome tab, even if it really is a Chrome tab.
Battery life. Always, I mean, look, when you get major versions that say they don't work on battery life. But it sounds like they're getting even more aggressive. And this goes back to Project Volta from last year, which is not running background tasks at inopportune times. Now it's going to really shut things down even further. And they flat out came out and said, probably sacrificing a little bit of you know speed when you wake the phone back up. Jerry's nodding his head.
But they it's not going to shut. You're still going to get text messages. You're still going to get calls. You're still going to get Hangouts. That's the important thing because we can shut down background stuff now. There, I mean, there's apps in Google Play. You can shut everything off. But as soon as you shut something off today, you don't get notified. You don't get push messages. Google is taking care of that in this Project Doze. I love to say Doze.
Yes, yes. Your phone will now be dozing.
Yep.
That's a good name.
And it does it intelligently on its own. You don't have to do anything. It notices when the usage goes down and your phone starts to go to sleep. It just cuts off background processes.
And then as soon as you plug your phone back on, or plug back in, everything turns back on. You get all the background syncing. It's just trying to save your battery as it's doing processes when your screen's off and it's been off for a while.
I know, you know, people close to, you know, within companies tend to get excited about their own products. But this was one of the ones, hearing them talk about it, they really did sound excited about it. So that's cool to hear. I'm sitting here, if I sound like I'm half listening, it's because I'm playing with the new interruptions and notifications again, or the sound settings.
And not, they're not quite what you wanted, are they?
Not quite, but actually I don't even see interruptions on here. Where'd they go?
Oh, they changed it. It's
again. we're learning right along with you, boys and girls. They gave you more granular, and there was a lot of joking in the keynote. They gave you more granular control over system volume versus media volume versus
one thing you can do: turn your volume the whole way down and then hit down one more time
after you get past vibrate.
Yeah, after you get... Oh, that does mute it?
Yes.
Oh, I missed
no
that.
No vibration.
Oh, I see. It just went dark.
Yeah, it goes dark, and then it says only your alarms will sound.
Right, which is exactly what I wanted. So thank you, Google. You still did it kind of a weird way, but that's what I wanted. As long as I know,
that's what it does.
At least
they're giving you the options now.
Yeah, yeah, it says... Okay, so it... I see. So it hits, you know, I've got your normal sounds, and then it goes all the way down, and it hits vibrate.
Which,
go down one more time and vibrate, like, grays out, and it says alarms only until you turn this off. Excellent. Excellent. That's what I wanted. Now, that said, and this goes for a lot of this stuff in M, not everything, but OEMs are still going to be able to customize a lot of
this. Sure. And you know what? That's not a far cry different from what some OEMs are doing right now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Asus, or not Asus, the LG G4 kept things really close to stock. But no, that's good. And that was my... Look, I get the whole mute thing, but not having an option for alarms that was simple for people to understand was a bad idea.
I took the time and moved people into my favorites list and actually used priority notifications, and it works good for me. But not everybody wants to sit down and keep track of that kind of micromanage who can make your phone vibrate or beep.
Nor should you.
Right.
I think. Are the notifications and interruptions there at all? Am I just missing them? Have I not looked that deep?
Within the settings?
Yeah, within the sound settings, I guess, is where they were, right? App notifications, no apps. I don't remember. Oh, there we go.
As we're all diving into our
devices. Yeah, okay, yeah. There's still priority stuff, so I'm just not seeing it in the same way. Weird. So that was a good change, I think.
And they changed the icon to a musical note. So we are more familiar with what it is, that they made us aware of that. So,
by the way, visually speaking, I mean, not a whole lot has changed. There's a new launcher on this, which maybe they'll update that into the Google Now launcher. Or what is it, the Google launcher? I don't actually
use it. Google Now
launcher. It's got four frequently used apps up at the top. And then everything else is alphabetical, and there's, you know, we did a post on it, so you can go see it, but it's categorized like that. So I've actually got some, like, blank spots in here.
Yep.
Like, when I run out of C apps, there are two blank spots until you get to the D apps.
And it's vertical.
It's vertical, it's three across, and unlike lists where, like, you start scrolling and then it pops the letters up, this has the letters just running all down the left-hand side.
Yeah, for now.
Ooh, look at that. I just hit a really bad visual bug.
Yep.
Where my four frequently used apps are now on top of
Here's something that's funny. Those organizations are on my Nexus 9.
How about that?
Good.
Yeah.
That means that Google is finally doing what they preach to everybody else and saying, you can have layouts of the same exact data and information that are different based on screen size.
Yep.
you don't need a vertical grid of four icons on a Nexus 9, but on a Nexus 6, it kind of works.
It makes more sense. Is it vertical or horizontal? It's vertical.
Yeah, it's still vertical.
Huh. I kind of like the pages on a tablet, though.
Yeah.
I think.
It works more like a book.
Yeah. But I think on a phone, though, vertical really works well.
Oh, absolutely.
I hated it when we went to horizontal.
That's a big reason why I use action launchers, yeah. I think. What else? Now on tap.
Love that.
Yeah, see, that's I haven't had a lot of time to play with that one, but I love the idea.
This is this weird... We talked a lot about contextual search and contextual computing. Was it I think it was 2 years ago. That was the one where you would search for seafood. You know, give me the closest seafood restaurant in San Francisco, and it would list it to you.
Yeah.
And then you would just say, all right, give me directions. And you wouldn't tell it where to give you directions right. to. It would just know contextually that the place you just searched for is probably where you want to go. So this is sort of the same thing, where it can look at, say, text messages if you're talking to somebody, and you tell somebody, hey, I need to remember to go pick up the dry cleaning. It will pop up a little Google Now reminder thing saying, would you like to add a reminder to pick up your dry cleaning?
But remember, to make this thing pop up, you have to hold the home button.
Right.
It doesn't just pop up in the middle of your text.
Well, yeah.
And again, you have to opt into all this. It's not going to automatically be, you know, listening in your text messages and whatnot. If you're talking to somebody about, you know, trying out a new restaurant, you can hold down it and it will pop up information for that restaurant, directions, you know, call them.
And even, I think the example even pulled up Yelp and told you which dish to buy.
Yelp and open, yeah, it can even go so far as to suggest dishes, which is a little crazy, but... At the same time, very cool.
Well, it's. I think they were most proud of the way they've built the knowledge graph and the way that they've worked with machine learning to get this to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the results, I think it's cool to tell that it tells me which fish to buy. You think that's over the top. No matter which way you feel about that, the method that they got there is really cool. You know, they said, I think it's 32 times more... accurate on words now when you use voice search. That's a big deal.
Yeah, they showed a graph of like how accurate it was in the beginning and to where it is now.
I think it was 8% before,
yeah.
And or it was 32% rejection rate before, and now it's only 8.
Right.
So that's big. And then it's a phone. It's less than $1,000, and that's a lot of money. But this is a cheap disposable piece of electronics that has learned what you're saying. That's cool.
Android Pay? Still not here yet. It's official and it's coming.
See, I got to go see the presentation about that today. And I got to say, it's very much a revamp of Google Wallet. It's still got the tap and pay, but they're working it so that it's nice, it's clean, and they're releasing a lot of APIs so that developers can easily make in-app purchases a lot easier. You just literally tap on a button that says pay with Android Pay, and it'll be like, which card you want to use, and purchase. There's no inputting of anything. You just have to confirm it.
Google Wallet's not going anywhere, but it will change a little bit. That's a little weird.
This whole thing is weird. I get it, and you know, tap to pay, that's really cool, and now other companies are doing it. It just seems, I don't know why they're going about it the way they were. I would think that your smart idea would be to change Google Wallet to include these new APIs. And if you want to clean the interface up, you clean the interface up. But also bundle this with the other features that we have in Google Wallet instead of pulling it out into its own separate app.
Yeah.
Well, that was one thing that confused me, because they were saying that they're going to do a lot of the same features. With either app, you can send money to other people, you can pay merchants. I didn't understand why
there might be weird legal reasons or maybe. Something.
Or there's also maybe, you know, we only think of the United States. People in Canada and Great Britain would love to have Tap and Pay.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is how you get it to them. I don't know.
They showed a bunch of businesses on board with this at launch. Toys R Us, Babies R Us, Best Buy, Coke, Aeropostale, American Eagle, Bloomingdale's, GameStop, Jamba Juice, Walgreens, Whole Foods, McDonald's, Macy's, Staples, Petco, Nike, Office Depot, Subway, Sports Authority, Pepsi, and Panera.
So the same companies that have always worked with Google Pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, if you can find a checkout that has either an NFC tag on it that says you can use that, or it has a Google Wallet or an Apple Pay should work. Android Pay, definitely. Stickers will start showing up. Any of those should work with this.
And again, it's using the token system, so you're not actually handing your credit card over to these companies, which is safer than you know, shopping at a lot of these companies these days. You know, it gives this, not random value, but this other value, well, this random value, actually, instead of your credit card number, so that's a good thing.
I want to see this work with something like a square reader.
Yeah.
You know, let's make an NFC square reader that can use a token system. So when I'm buying something, you know, I love hot dogs from street vendors on the mall in D.C. Oh, they're delicious. A lot of those guys pay with Square. You can pay them. I'm not going to say I don't trust these guys, but I would feel so much better if I was just giving them a virtual card number than actually handing them my credit card for them to walk over by the register and swipe it around.
Well, even if they made a physical card like they did for Google Wallet, that'd be something to look into.
Plus, there is fingerprint support now, native in M, for all this stuff.
Well, I think everybody knew that was coming.
Yeah.
But it's great to see it official.
It's good to see it native, I guess.
I hope that it doesn't conflict with what Samsung's doing. I hope the two complement each other, so when your Galaxy S6 gets Android M next year sometime, then everything just works. You don't have two different fingerprint locks and two different, you know, security options. I want it all to work together.
And to be fair, Samsung's not the only company with fingerprint scanners. They're obviously the biggest. But, you know, HTC has a phone.
Right.
Huawei has had a phone. There's another. Who am I thinking?
Motorola had one way in the past.
Yes, the Atrix, but that was different.
That was three lifetimes ago.
But I said Samsung because they're the big guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could still see LG maybe doing one on the back of a phone.
I hope that, you know, HTC's fingerprint scanner works too. I didn't mean to slight anybody.
Yeah, we haven't used the new M9 Plus with it.
When the new Nexus comes out in October, made by LG with a fingerprint scanner, we all hope it works.
We'll all know why, right? Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing to add in there. Now, remind me, I can't remember if this is rumor or fact at this point. Logging into websites via fingerprint?
Yes.
Any type of authentication.
You can use the API in any of your apps so that you can do like a password manager to get into that. You can pay, you can authorize payments through that. You can even log into your phone with that. And you can access the fingerprint scanner for almost anything.
That actually also ties into the Google Identity platform, which I don't know if we wrote anything about. I think we might have a little bit. But it's just this even more integrated. It integrates with Smart Lock, actually. You can use... Oh. What's that?
I just want... Before we get too far off...
Yeah.
Andrew wrote Dashlane has already announced they work. Right. So...
With fingerprints.
With the fingerprints. Yeah. So this... Any type of password situation.
So Smart Lock for passwords. They say you get frictionless sign-in and sign-up into apps on Android and sites in Chrome with any account. You can be automatically signed in because you're using Smart Lock, which is actually way cool. Imagine, you know, so your phone is tied to your Android Wear device, and you go to log into Android Central, and you don't have to type in a password and a username. I've already, you know, I've very excitedly sent this to our dev team today.
These guys today, a lot of these engineers that work at Android, they're really excited about all this stuff. But they'll be, you know, they'll tell you right up front, well, this way it'll all work with Wear. Wear is, I think Google sees Wear as part of their future.
Well, it's obviously their future. They built it so that right now you look at Wear as just a watch. And Wear is made to work on almost anything that you can have around you.
Maybe this also alleviates some of the issues, and not immediately, but the issues I had with the GS6 fingerprint and Smart Lock, because they didn't really play nicely together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I love the idea of being able to use the fingerprint scanner on the GS6 and log into any app. They use Netflix as an example. You know, that would really make things, oh God, or like 1Password, which I have a long and complicated master password for obvious reasons, but that also makes it very unfun to log in with. You know, if I could just use the fingerprint scanner to do that, that would be great. But this goes beyond apps. It's also for websites. The smart lock for passwords and the identity toolkit. Really, really cool stuff there. And again, it's about balancing being secure with ease of use. But really neat stuff. And it'll work with other things, Facebook and Twitter as well.
Sure.
And not just Google stuff.
I would imagine on the Android side, it will treat it just like a password in any app that requires a password,
yep,
as long as the developers are willing to retool it.
I gotta wonder, do you think they did this from scratch, or do you think they worked with Samsung? Because Samsung's done this as well.
I hope they work with Samsung.
I really do.
Why would you, you know, build it twice? Samsung's works well. I don't hear, you know, very few people complain about the way it works on a Galaxy S6. So why reinvent the wheel?
I'm looking through our list here. We got a lot more things. Let's do this. Why don't we take a quick break? I got one ad read to do, and then we will pick back up. So, you've heard us talk about it now for the past few weeks. We're going to talk about it again. And maybe it's not news that supported open source is now widely accepted at the highest levels of enterprise computing, but the extent of adoption is probably broader than you think, and most of the open source running in elite data centers is, in fact, Red Hat.
Yep.
And it's even more than just Red Hat Enterprise Linux, too. Red Hat offers storage solutions, cloud computing, and everything you need for application development. It's all open source, and it's all enterprise grade, and the stats truly are eye-opening. Jerry, look at my eyes. They are open.
Wide open.
Red Hat runs in every executive department in the U.S. federal government, every airline, telecom giant, and healthcare company in the Fortune Global 500, the New York Stock Exchange, and every commercial bank also in the Fortune 500. That's a lot of companies. In fact, more than 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 use Red Hat for everything from the critical to the routine. The only thing that's really surprising is how many people, and people who know a lot about technology, don't even know. Did you know this, Jerry?
I knew this.
Jerry knew this. We all knew that Jerry knew this.
It's Red Hat. They take this type of stuff seriously.
It's almost as if Red Hat snuck in, got comfortable, and quietly transformed the technology business without making a fuss. That pretty much also explains how Jerry got this job, I think. He just kind of showed up one day. Still here. Sometimes the most disruptive technology is the stuff that no one notices at first. To find out more about how Red Hat is quietly redefining enterprise technology, visit redhat.com. Red Hat, build on it, run with it, count on it. All right, where do we want to pick up?
Well, can I say how excited I am that Red Hat is sponsoring our podcast?
You've obviously not listened the past few weeks.
I listen to it live.
It's very cool.
I love it. They're one of my favorite companies.
Cool. Google Photos, probably the other big singular announcement from today. Again, we kind of knew it was coming. And so, my God. Do you say "Oh my God" or do you say "ZOMG"? How do you like when you actually say it?
I don't say either, but I'm old.
All right, fine. So yes, it's split away from Google Plus, sort of, not entirely. Yes,
it's split away from Google Plus, but it's very similar to what was offered when it was still combined with Google Plus.
What they did, in a nutshell, is they took the user interface out of Google Plus and put it in its own app and changed nothing
else. That's not true. They improved a lot of it.
Well, I didn't mean to say that they did bad things, but if you've used Photos on Google Plus, you're going to be very, very at home.
Yes.
With the new app.
Absolutely. You can still do a lot of the, you know, the same editing. Really, for me, one of the cooler parts is the sort of gallery view with it. And especially how, if you know, you're looking at a photo, then you do the zoom out motion, and it will take you to, hey, here are all your pictures from this day or this week or this month or this year.
This is, of course, when you're viewing it on your phone or tablet, but
right,
not when you're viewing it from your computer.
Right. What else? Unlimited storage for 16 megabyte images and down. You can still do full res if you want, but that will count against whatever your quota is.
Also, up to 1080p videos.
Chances are 16 megabyte pictures or megapixel pictures are going to be more than enough for everybody listening to this podcast.
I did full res. I might well change back. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about it.
What really, really blew my mind was the facial recognition.
Yes.
Somehow, You can pick the
when I was talking to Anil, he was very proud of this feature. Yeah, I mean, will look at your images, and not just faces, but things within the pictures. You can, and that was the fun thing after the app came out today. Load up the new Photos app, let it suck in all your pictures from all your devices, whatever you've had uploaded to Google, and then search for something. Just search for some random, like hot dog. Let me try it right now. I'm curious to see what I'll get. Hot dog. Let's see what it finds. It'll probably show me pictures of my dog. No results.
That didn't work.
No, that was a poor example.
It's a good thing that one didn't work.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably user error. Baby. Let's see. It shows me my youngest kid. She's not really a baby anymore. Well, in that picture, she's kind of a baby. But yeah, just
search. That's the coolest thing. When Anil was showing pictures of his niece, he has pictures of his niece from the day she was born on his laptop sucked in. Somehow it recognizes that that's his niece, who is now a very attractive girl and probably 18 to 20. We're talking 20 years here, guys.
So I just searched for baseball, and it's showing me pictures from a local minor league baseball game I went to last week. There are the pictures from Yankee Stadium I took a month ago.
Should be pictures from Giant Stadium in there somewhere.
Let's see if it goes, or from the Cubs.
Oh, yep.
Oh, it doesn't have that one.
Well, you know what that tells me? You haven't uploaded them to Google Plus yet, or Google Photos.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll have to see. And I need to, get this installed on all my other apps or all my other devices. Oh, there's one. Where is that from? Is that ours? Oh, that is ours. It looks like our stadium.
This is going to be a mess for the first month.
No, and that's what Anil said. He's like, look, when I had a lot of duplicates at first. It looked like I had two wives, but it was really the same person. Whatever family member it was. And then all of a sudden it got smarter and it figured it out. So it might take a little bit of computing time for Google servers to figure all that out. But he said, he's like, it's amazing how well it does.
Well, cool. Then I'll let it figure it out, because I'm tired of deleting duplicate pictures from Google Plus.
Well, but if you do want to delete things, this app makes it a lot easier, I think. You basically tap on one image and then drag through all the others you want to delete. It's very much a desktop metaphor with your finger. But it worked really well. I like that a lot. You have a trash can now with a 60-day trash on there. So if you do delete something and you realize you need it back, you've got 2 months to get it back. I need to play around with the sync some more. I've got Andrew doing a deeper dive into all this while we're out running around. But the syncing, when you delete an image, it asked, at least the one time I deleted a bunch of them, it asked if I wanted to delete them on multiple devices. It will categorize things, people, places, things. It'll do it by types of videos or types of content. So videos, creations, which is auto awesome. Kind of gets a new name.
Yeah, also, while there is Auto Awesome, there's no more Auto Awesome, but they've changed it, so there's now this tool called Assistant that will recommend or show you creations that it made itself that auto make GIFs. And
you can still do them manually if you want to.
Of course.
You can create an album, movie, story, animation, or collage, but it will also do them automatically. So, I mean, there's a lot going on here and a lot of really good stuff. It's still sort of secondary to whatever gallery a manufacturer has put on their device.
But on the other side of that is you don't have to install this.
Right. No, that's true. Or not true. It's going to be pre-installed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. When I asked, I didn't get an answer, I thought.
So you will still have that sort of, hey, which one do you want to use? Well, and they hope you'll want to use this.
There goes my whole idea out the window.
Well, I mean, we'll see if I feel differently in a month, but as this stands now, I want to use it more.
I like online photo gallery, and I like using Snapseed to edit things. This kind of plays right into what I like. But the cool part is if it isn't what you like, you just disable them, never look at the icon again, and do your own thing with your other gallery.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I hate the idea of two galleries on an app or on a phone, and this might just be the new car smell on me, and I'm all excited by that, but I like this better than I liked the previous iteration of Photos by a long shot.
One day of use, I already like it better than the other one.
Now, again, we'll see how I feel in a month.
You, and then you tell me that it might learn and get rid of my duplicates and that kind of mess. I'm really giving this one a chance.
Well, one thing they kept saying is that this isn't just a tool for dumping your photos into. This is to organize your photos.
Yeah. That's not easy. I mean, look at... I mean, Apple still hasn't gotten that right.
Nope.
I mean, almost nobody has. I think...
I want to say that Google might be able to because of their machine learning.
Yeah.
That's going to help here. It's going to... And yes, it's going to look at all your pictures.
Are you worried about that? Because our pals at iMore wrote a big piece, you know, not quite the sky is falling, but oh, wait a minute, you don't want Google, you know, having everything about you for free.
And, I'm not worried about it, but I'm not taking pictures of myself for Snapchat. If you are, that's something you need to keep in mind. When you take that picture, I'm only going to send it on Snapchat. It's still going to get uploaded.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, and I can't make that choice for anyone. On the other hand, if you like what you got enough to take pictures of it, why not share it with the world? Put it on Google. I don't know.
Chances are that's why you're taking that picture in the first place.
But, you know, that's something that we do have to always keep in the back of our mind. You're uploading it to a secure area that nobody else will ever see, but you're still uploading it.
You think if you take a lot of pictures of dogs, is Google suddenly going to start sending you know, serving you dog ads left and right?
They have the right to. By using all these free services, they can...
But have we seen them do that? I don't even know. I mean, it's not something that keeps me up at night. I agree with Jerry. It's something you should be aware of.
Yeah.
But me as a user, and look, I'm a user with two young daughters in a public, pretty public job. And by the way, thank you all for respecting that, mostly. But yeah, I mean, it is something I think about and I worry about. And I was talking to somebody about it the other day. I mean, look, there's a reason my wife, you know, as much as I travel, doesn't let me take naked pictures of her. And, you know, because once you take the picture, you take the picture. So I totally get that.
One day somebody's going to grab your phone, whether it be somebody you work with, somebody else that you know at one of these tech conferences, they're going to pick it up. And I agree completely with your wife. There's no business of you having things on there that nobody else needs to see.
We used to have a saying at the newspaper, you know, how every now and then you see, you know, the horror stories or like it would show up on Leno or something of something stupid ending up in the newspaper. And, and the line was, if you don't want to see it in the paper, don't see it in the paper, even jokingly. Don't.
Right.
As we were designing pages and writing headlines, you don't ever write anything jokes
right.
Like that. So anyway, we're kind of way off on a tangent there. Wow. Google Cardboard had a lot of FaceTime in the keynote today.
Expeditions? Is that what they call the field trip? That was that's an idea. Why didn't we think of that years ago?
So Cardboard,
that was amazing.
If you don't know what Cardboard is, it's sort of a
it's a cheap,
overly
way to
simple
do
name. Yeah, it's cheap VR. It doesn't have to be cheap VR. It's stereoscopic. It's a lot like what Samsung's doing with the Gear VR, only instead of it's passive. It's you put on these goggles and then your phone serves as the display.
I played a pumpkin chunking game in Alexandria with the guys from IDEA at their code kitchen. You can do a lot more with Cardboard than people think.
And it's called Cardboard because the first one that they handed out last year at I.O. was made out of cardboard. They have since brought other manufacturers on board to make, you know, plastic versions of the goggles and stuff. The new one they have made for bigger phones. That was kind of the problem. The first one was based off the Nexus 5, and now, things have grown exponentially since then.
Now it fits phones up to 6 inches, which doesn't mean you can't use smaller phones. It just means you can use a lot more variety.
It's got a new button on it, right?
Yes. Instead of a magnetic ring on the side, it's got a button up top that should be compatible with most phones.
What does the button do?
It's a selector button. You don't use it too much, but then when you open up the Cardboard app, you can view different games and videos and stuff, and it allows you to select it, make choices and stuff like that.
Your left mouse button. Think of it as your mouse button.
Gotcha. What did the ring do in the old one? I thought that
it was the same thing.
Oh, was it?
It just didn't always work.
This one, I think it actually touches your screen. If you put your phone in there now without running Cardboard, it tries to place a widget if you push the button.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So Expedition, what Jerry was talking about, is actually really cool. They'll basically serve these up to classrooms.
Yep. It's a complete kit. Open the box. There's phones and viewers for the children. a tablet and a viewer for the teacher, which I'd love to see the tablet viewer. That's the first thing.
Is it like a big giant thing on your head?
I don't know. They didn't. But they're all synchronized.
Right.
The teacher says, okay, well, this is, you know, this is Eastern Kenya. We're looking at the habitat of the zebra and a giraffe. Boom. All the kids see it at once. And that's amazing, and I wish we had that when I was in school.
It makes it so that learning is interactive. Not only are you now reading about the Great Wall of China from a picture in a book, you are actually exploring and virtually walking down the wall.
Right. It almost feels like you're there.
Yes.
That's what VR does, is it places you where you can't go. I mean, it's... I don't know. You all know what I mean. I don't want to get all silly. But I just think it's something that, I don't know, we have dreamed of this kind of stuff for years. We saw Virtual Boys and all this other crazy stuff. But now to see a company actually invest in a way to do it cheaply for the whole world to benefit from, I really like it. It's my favorite thing from I.O. so far. And that's, I don't know, it just is.
It's simple and it's fun, but it's very informative, and it'll teach a lot of people a lot of cool things.
It makes me, and I know Google is a company just like Coca-Cola or Sears and Roebuck. They need to make money, but when I see things like this, it just the little part inside of me says, "Oh, Google really cares."
Yeah,
they really want these kids to learn. They're not just doing this as an angle to make money. They really want children to learn, and it feels.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find my picture so I get the name of it right. But speaking of kids, they're making it easier to find, quote, family-friendly apps, which is, I mean, not that, like, Google Play is overrun by porny apps or anything, but finding things that you would want your kids to right. use, and that's a big thing for me.
I talked to somebody today. We're going to learn all about that. She got a whole bunch of stuff she wants to share with me and you next week.
Oh, cool. I'm trying to find the name of it. Where'd it go?
But basically, within the Play Store, you can now set age limits for your kids, and then you can find apps that would be age appropriate, and you don't have to worry about finding anything bad on the Play Store.
And isn't there a portal that showcases apps that are family friendly and safe?
Yes.
That's.
And there's a fun little icon to go with mm-hmm. it. Here it is. Where's the little icon? Did I not?
You passed it.
Where's the little... It was a fun little icon.
Fun little star.
That's what it was. It was the star. There he is. Almost looks like something from Mario Brothers or something. But you'll see the little star with apps. You get more filtered search with it.
But what's fun is that if your children have a like popular character or something like that...
Yeah.
So, you know, the three apps I can see right there is the Nick Jr. app.
And this a side effect of this is people are going to want to write apps that feature Dora. Or anybody else, they're going to be more prompt.
That's important for me because my kids are already playing a lot. They didn't. Yeah. If I would love to have a better place to point them and say, hey, download anything out of here.
A curated page with a friendly little star and be featured in a group of search results, that's incentive to build these really good apps. And kids deserve great.
What else? When we talked, did we talk about a little bit and then got off it? More offline. The data and lighter search results.
We did not.
No,
I was just talking to somebody else about it. Then markets. In many ways talking about South America, Africa is here. In a lot of places, you're still talking. You know, edge data.
Yep.
Not having high speed data. Really changes experience into something you would never want to use again.
Well, they found that loading one article up to like 30 seconds, and it was taking forever. So what they've done is they've now cleaned it, load these pages on slower speeds, and then they use things like they don't load the images right away.
Thumbnails there. There are lots of ways that they've found they can do this without impact. There are a lot of people out there that are going to be buying a cell phone in the next couple of years.
And that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
We talk about China, India, and just now adopting technology. You said Africa. Africa is going to be important to Google, and it shows. They're spending time and money to make the experience better.
Somewhere they're talking about navigation working. They're talking about search working. Yep.
Everything we wanted.
It was amazing. They like turned off the internet, and then they were still able to search for a location near the internet connection.
What they didn't do is explain how this is done, are you going to need to manually download areas like we do now, or is the app itself going to suddenly get as you're moving, and then if you lose connectivity, everything still works because it's been collecting? So we'll have to look more into how that.
Anything you think about that we just haven't talked about yet? Project Brillo.
This is exciting.
Yep.
This is a lot of, I thought Russell did a good job the other day explaining Android-based stuff that makes everything talk together.
Right. Russell and I spent a good 5 minutes saying how this is what we want Google to do with Android. In their examples, everything's talking to each other. Your phone is always aware of what's around you. It can switch roles from a communications device to a TV remote to a game controller solely based on what's around you using Brillo and...
Weave.
Weave. Thank you. You saved me.
You keep forgetting that name.
I keep forgetting that name. The big thing that got me, cross-platform compatibility.
Yep. That's important.
Very.
Google understands that you can't just do things for your own platform now. You can't.
So that means I can have an iPhone and come home and say, open my garage door, unlock my door, turn on my porch light, all from my phone using products that also work with my wife's Note. And that's really important, that you don't want to lock people out of your ecosystem.
Right.
To take a step back, Brillo is basically talk to each other. So it's based off of an Android kernel, and then OEMs just have to throw this into their product, your phone specs inside your washing machine. But just very little will...
If you're a programmer of any type and you're listening, it just uses its schemas. There are some that are included in the SDK. You can build custom ones. So there's no real high-level stuff going on. It doesn't need anything high-level. It just talks to itself and each other.
Speaking of the Internet of Things, I controlled some lights today with my pants. Or not really with my pants, but ATAP, which you hear Russell talk a lot about too, is basically Google's DARPA. You know, just doing crazy stuff. They're the ones who did Project Tango. So they had some cool... It's not like connected fabric, but it is connected. It's think of it like fabric with a touch system in it. And it's not completely invisible. You could see it sitting there, but basically you would rub on this fabric, you know, like you tap it to turn lights on and off, and you'd swipe up to brighten and down to, you know, darken it, and left and right to change the color of the lights. I think they were filling.
And that's that could work itself into this Project Brillo. You don't need pants that have an operating system. You need pants with that have a sensor that can communicate with.
Well, they did that. You could control your music playback by just tapping this fabric.
But I meant that, you know, you don't have a.
Yes, it is. What else did I do? They had it hooked up on your sleeve to change the music, potentially. I mean, this is all kind of theoretical visual representation of where you were touching and how, you know, a short touch registered a video on it, I think. So that was cool. That was, by the way, called Project... Yes? No?
I didn't hear anyone else pronounce it.
Every time somebody says it, I think of Jean-Luc. So, I'm the wrong one to ask. It's been a long day.
Android is very excited about this. It doesn't just support C++.
Products that you're using the NDK, you have all the tools that you want. You can know the shortcuts and the text, the autocomplete. That's all with... If you've ever coded in C++ in a big project something, well, now there's a great tool and it's built in and it just works and it's free. Android software for Android products, you've got an awesome, I think, the past few years they're doing it.
And that was a big part of the last couple of years.
Yep.
I don't think we did a lot of stories on it today, but material design through Matthias's... session this afternoon
he's proud of what he's done.
He's just this slightly crazy designer, and I would like to think a lot of really good designers are a little crazy. But when you look at material design from I liked it from the get-go last year.
Yep.
The idea of it, the idea of you can have the emphasis of the assumption of motion in this two-dimensional space and this assumption of 3D in this two-dimensional space with colors and shadow, and it's as simple as it is complex. And damn it, it worked. And it does work. And it's beautiful. They should be proud of it. A lot of new tools for developers and designers to use. Yeah. A lot of new, you know, icons and libraries for making it easier to develop apps with Material Design.
It's, you know, they Android Studio, they upgraded it with tools for the code guys. The designers have a lot of new resources available too. So that, you know, that Google is.
One thing that was nice that came out of that is that they did create libraries that made it so that developers no longer have to port these libraries mm-hmm. into their projects, and they have all this material design done for them. They just have to...
Whatever it's called this week, now you can import that into your project without having some experience trying to...
Yeah, I had
that
some...
That was a bear.
Yeah, I had some of my app developer friends that were just like, how do I do this? And you had other people out there that shared their way of doing it, but now you don't have to do any work. You just have to import into your project... Yep. And make it yours.
And that's how consistency is happens.
Yep. And again, it's not about making everything look the same. It's about giving it this common language.
You know, the drawer that slides out from the left needs to look the same across all applications. The content inside that drawer does not. And that's what Google's giving you. They're giving you... The bones to build, you know, build, here's the drawer. Make the drawer your own. Here's some guidelines how to make it look like it fits. Here's a bunch of resources you can use freely if this helps you. And they just give it all to you.
New things to do with the floating action button?
Now I'm trying to think. I have to go back and watch that again.
Yeah,
is something.
He showed a few things you can do with it. It's no longer necessarily just this floating button right there. Can tap it, it moves, you know, like to the bottom of the screen.
And they backported a lot of this stuff, too. Yep. You no longer have to be, what was it, ice cream sandwich?
I know.
I'm not convinced that we need to do that at this point, but then again, I'm not...
You don't have to be in the third world for that, man.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm not sitting there for updates. So it's a good thing that they're there.
That's really my thing, just... Because I need to. You miss a lot, you know, sitting there trying to cover it. Go read Google's blog post on. But it's a lot of good stuff to come. We're going to have to wait for a lot of it. Some of it will be here sooner. Is it M-dependent? That was the...
I'm pretty sure it's M-dependent.
Okay.
For the new... There's not a whole lot of change in the way it actually works.
Right.
So you may not see anything new if you've been using Google Wallet all...
The back end will still be basically the same.
Don't worry about, you know, I'm not worried about us like here to get it right and again to see how it's actually implemented. Say something.
I was going to say that's the point of Google I/O and the preview is that this was a heads up so that they can start working it into their apps, into their systems, so that users to enjoy.
By the way, I just remembered, I forgot it. The more I use it, the more I'm in love with it. But I'm going to continue saying it, lest someone mistake me for one. But I am the guy at Google Play Developer Console every day. Some really cool new stuff there. You can A/B test your app listing, your description and stuff like that, and see what works best. You can now, developers who have multiple apps can now have a singular developer page that, you know, it's kind of like an About Me page for all your apps. We
don't know exactly when it's going to be all live, but you can also... upload your app and have it tested on the 20 most popular Android devices around the world.
Compatibility test suite. That's part of it.
Yep.
CTS. Sorry. CTS is something. Cloud testing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
And back to you're going to be a developer. This Udacity partnership.
Yep.
Where they, you know, they will teach you to develop and actually
something not even like that much.
It was $200 a month.
Yeah, $200 a month.
And cool too. I mean, there's a lot of people who want to get started and don't know where.
But what's nice about this course is it looks nice. It's not just basic libraries patched together.
So there's a difference here. There's a thing, you know, there's things we thought we knew were coming and still very much being talked about in the sessions, material design being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Matias Duarte didn't come up on doesn't mean they've abandoned it. Google Plus is not dead. It's still, you're using Google Plus, awesome. If you're not, that's cool too. But just because, they got a little bit of a mention about low-cost Chromebooks, but that was it.
I was just, you know, introduced
Arc recently. Welder and yeah. Yeah.
I really thought we were going to see more of that.
Maybe that's just in a session I've missed, or but I would have expected more high.
Actually, it's odd. There's a reason, and we just don't know it yet. Maybe there's going to be another announcement.
Summer event like we've done before.
Yeah.
Android TV was kind of another one like that, right. Broadcasting, you know, channels and stuff like that. We also had today, we'll talk more about this with Android TV, whatever name it's going by this week. Can you buy it now? Yeah, you can get it yet.
I don't want to spoil it for anything, but Andrew likes it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not flipping himself over it and rushing out to buy 10 of them, but he's not.
4K streaming on it and over-the-air playback? Was that... What was the
year playback on it?
Anyway, we'll talk more to Andrew about that next week.
Yeah,
for Project Fi, nothing.
There was not even a word.
Now look, I expected some sort of brief mention.
Correct. Especially they talk about how they're
and here's this thing they had recently announced.
Yeah,
but
I mean they talked for like 5 seconds about process, but that's still very Google X and still secretive. Whereas we're actually on the networks already, and there was not even a whisper about it.
Well, Project the Moonshot. Google does, yeah. But like Justin said, Project Fi starts now. I expected to hear something, and we didn't.
Android Wear was the other weird one, and that's not to say they didn't talk about it during the keynote, because they did, but a lot of that was rehashed from the update, from the 5.1.1 update of the past few weeks. I guess... The one big number we got was there are 4,000 Android Wear apps, which, whatever, that's just another one of those numbers that, I'm not putting 4,000 apps on my watch. And I think Android Wear is going the right direction, and I think they needed to say something. Yeah.
But you know what, I got the feeling that maybe 5.1.1 for Android Wear got pushed a little bit early because of another company's big watch. And maybe this was going to be more, you know, this is what's coming for Android Wear, and then we see it next week. But they had to move it up a little bit to stay competitive. That happens.
That could well be.
I could just be guessing it. Absolutely incorrect.
It did get 2 soft launches. It was announced once quietly and then majorly announced. And the quiet launch was with the Urbane.
Yeah, no new hardware on that front or anything. No crazy new hardware announced at all.
Did we really expect any new hardware?
I think maybe we were starting to just because of all the Internet of Things talk and Nexus Q.
I have to admit, when the countdown stopped at 7 and switched over and had all this other stuff going on with 7s, I thought Nexus 7. They did, and we didn't know. But nope.
I thought... The display of the keynote today was excellent.
Oh,
it's probably one of the better ones I think I've seen Google do.
The intro video used all the screen space possible and just made it amazing.
If you haven't watched the keynote, go do it. Because actually, I want to watch it to see the spectacle. Because sitting there,
right,
you have this limited field of view. It's not like I was turning around the whole time to see everything that's going on. But the screen wrapped around, 270 degrees, from the back left corner... And then it was like almost like a big sick wall, but not really.
And that Pong finale, that down to the wire ended up in a tie, was amazing.
They had people playing Pong from one end of this giant screen to the other, and I couldn't even tell where they were. And again, it was tough for us. Like, you would see the ball flash by, and that was it. So I want to go. A little bit of the keynote I've watched on video today showed the whole thing, and it was really cool. But just visually, it was really well done. The speakers were all well done. Not great, but a decent mix of women up there, which is always great to see.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty diverse crowd. I mean, it's always a really diverse crowd, but it's still male-dominated, but not 100% so, and that's great to see.
I would love
to see my kids here one day.
Right. That's nobody's fault that this is a male-dominated field. But they're trying.
Yep.
You can tell they're trying.
Walking around, I could see a difference in the diversity.
I thought it was more.
Yeah.
Just superficially, I thought it was more.
Not just male-female ratio. I'm in a wheelchair. I notice other people in a wheelchair more than ever before.
Do you guys, have jackets made and have meetups?
No, we talk.
Yeah.
We talk about how thick the carpet is. And, we talk, but that they even have a booth about how Android can work, you know, with accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
I swung by there, and it was really, really busy, but it was interesting, and they care about this. They care about reaching out to everyone. So, you know, that's going to go, you know, the whole way. They want more women to attend their events. That's a good thing.
I was sitting with Ashley Escada. You guys, everybody knows Ashley, old friend of the site, used to work with us some. She realized for the first time, and they've done this for the past couple of years, I think, they have childcare here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you, you know, if you can't dump your kids on family, which is what I call it, that's what I do. but you can bring your kids, and they have daycare here, yep. Which is pretty awesome. That's incredible to see.
I have to use the wheelchair, I can't, or the elevator. I can't use the escalator. I get to see them.
You're not missing anything, kids. By the way.
No, but they take the kids. They walk. They don't just keep the kids in a room. They don't just
like shove them in a room.
Right, and have them watch cartoons.
Can you imagine being a little kid and being brought here and then, like, just stuck in a room all day?
That's the luckiest kids in America.
I mean, that said, you and I are kind of stuck in rooms all day.
But these kids, they get to see. They get to play with the tablets. They get to play with, you know, all the stuff that's out there, and that's great.
They get to see just as much as we do.
Right. They probably appreciate it as much as we do.
If not more.
Yeah.
It's more magic.
Oh, man. What else? That's day one. I heard we didn't go to the after-hours party tonight because we're doing this and we're old. I heard it was Skrillex.
Some of us are old.
Yeah, that's right. You're not old. I heard it was Skrillex.
Did he really come?
See, now you wish he went. Sorry. I guess we could open the window and maybe hear. It's been a crazy year and it's not over yet. We still have Friday. We still have tomorrow. So if anything crazy happens, it'll be on the blog. We'll talk about it more next week because I want to hear from the guys back home. I want to hear from Russell and Andrew and what they thought and what maybe we missed sitting here in the middle of it. Jerry, anything you want to close out with?
No, I mean, this was the weirdest I.O. ever and my most...
And you say that in a good way.
Yes. They've just... I say weird because they've done things a little bit differently, not because any of it's bad.
I like to see it rebooted a little bit.
The developer part of me just loves what I'm seeing. And if this is a trend that, you know, they continue, I say this every year, if you're interested in any type of development for Android or the web or anything, man, you got to try to get out here.
But I'm glad they're putting more focus on development or developers because this is a developers conference.
Right.
While it does get a lot of public attention, this is mainly for helping developers.
It's like the first few years we came, it was like, get out there, get your free stuff. That was the important, that's what everybody cared about. And you don't get that jive at all anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year especially, there's nobody talking about any free stuff. I think, what would we get? Nexus 9s, right? We got to go pick up a Nexus 9. But people don't care. People aren't running around worried about what they can get and sell on eBay. They're here to learn and do really cool stuff.
And I was going to say, don't just listen to us. They have, they live stream so many of these sessions,
yes.
But go back and watch them, you know, after they're recorded and plopped up on the Google Developers channel, because you will learn so much. I mean, I refer back to last year all the time.
Yeah.
So some really good stuff there, and kudos. A big link to all.
Yeah, a link. To the whole playlist full of stuff.
I was gushing about the I.O. extended events. And so if you can't, but they do these local extended events for other people. And
yeah,
it's kind of astounding when you see it.
I was actually closer to 2 I.O. extended events than I was to the...
Fair enough. Justin, any last...
We still have another day, but...
I had fun.
I also like that they're mainly focusing on fixing bugs. This isn't a year that they're going to try to push more features down on phones. They're trying to fix bugs, make things more smooth. It's been a good Google I.O.
For me, yeah, I mean, I've kind of gushed about it a little bit tonight, I think. But for me, it's very much about that. I want to see more and better apps and better discovery of apps and better services and more services for all. And
it, we don't just write about this. We actually use
Look, I mean, I have my 8-year-old using a Moto X. She's using this alongside of me. And every now and then I think maybe I should just get her an iPhone. But I like the fact that she's using what to me is a more complicated ecosystem, OS, and that I missed my 4-year-old's preschool graduation today. Jerry and I are sitting on a Moto X of her sister graduating preschool, which was very cool to see, and that my kid's stuff was pretty awesome. So, yeah, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know.
I think tomorrow's a lot of deep drill down.
Thing comes out of that, we'll see it.
We're not going to have 100 news posts for you tomorrow, guys.
No, might.
Well, never say never, but I think that today was the big part.
The comments today and for reading all the posts. And thank you again, Russell and Andrew, for holding down the fort while we were out here playing. Alex, by the way, is still in China. I have no idea what he's doing.
I haven't heard from Alex. He's gone. He's never coming back.
I don't think he comes home till next week sometime. Poor guy. Later. Yeah, no. What's today? It's Thursday night. So, yeah, sometime next week.
Yep.
Wow. He's going to need a few days off, maybe. We'll give him one day off. So anyway, thank you all at home for listening to this and for reading everything today. You are what makes it worth it for us to use such poor grammar late at night. Wow.
Now I feel less bad.
Yes.
Because I've been stumbling all night. I'm tired.
Jerry, Justin, I got your name right. How about that? You impressed now? Thank you guys. Thank you all for listening at home. And we will be back to you per normal next week. See ya.
Adios.
Bye, guys.
All right, that wonderful episode, Google I.O. special edition of the Android Central podcast was brought to you by Red Hat. Sometimes the most disruptive technology is the stuff that no one notices at first. To find out more, Red Hat, build on it, run with it, count on it.